It's podcast time, jump aboard. This podcast won a award from a site called The Poke. I don't know what that is. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hi guys, Matt Dyson here. You don't have to be mad to work at XFM. In fact, you probably wouldn't pass the initial medical if you were. But one thing you do need is a working knowledge of Podcast 67, which this week features all sorts of shenanigans, like this clip chosen by Mrs. Rental of Shepshed.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Fun times this weekend, Matthew Dyson. Fun times.
Fun times, yeah.
You guys came round to my house. We watched the Darren Brown
extravaganza.
I think one of you brought probably a bad bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling it at one point. I tried to teach you all my favourite game that I've been telling you about for literally months, I think.
Yeah.
And finally we had enough people around. And I think the bad glass of wine meant that I forgot most of the rules, including the one really crucial thing that I only realised about 11 minutes into the game.
Mm.
So we had to abandon that, didn't we?
Yeah, and I was really excited about playing that game as well, so you've ruined it for me a little bit, but I'm willing to give it another go at some point.
Well, I've wet your appetite.
Yeah.
I was teasing ahead
to
the day we play it for real.
It was a really bad glass of wine, I think. Really bad. Serious oxidisation had happened.
Was it corked? I don't know. But I don't know who brought that, but just don't do it again. I'll take care of that stuff in the future. What else did you get up to this weekend, Matthew?
Just hanging with the baby, walking around parks, trying to get her to sleep at night, you know.
Oh. At night?
Yeah.
Just walking around with a baby in a park at night.
Just tiring her out in the day before night, obviously.
Yeah. A really sinister gang.
And last night I fell asleep watching some film called What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Oh, man.
Katie's got this. I've loved film. It's like there's a whole new subgenre of comedies about having babies.
Yeah.
But just because Knocked Up was quite popular.
Is that right? That's what you think.
And it's
this is based on a hugely best-selling book, isn't it?
Yes.
It was more of a manual, wasn't it? There was no story to it.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Just a bunch of stuff.
I don't know how this relates to it, really.
I nearly had to do the same on Saturday. I got away with it, but What to Expect When You're Expecting was nearly the one that we went for.
Yeah.
Dave, of course, living the life of Riley. You went to see Bond last night.
Yeah, I did. I went to see Bond, yeah.
How the other half lived, Matt.
I was very excited.
And apparently you made a joke.
Yeah, well, we got to the counter where we were paying for the tickets.
Yeah.
And it's the same counter where you can obviously buy your refreshments and snacks for the film as well.
It's handy, yeah.
So I gave my friend a little dare to go up to the counter. And as we asked for the popcorn, which he likes to have mixed, you know, half salt, half sweet, which is a revelation, by the way. I never realised that was so tasty.
Yes.
And he asked the guy behind the counter, kind of it shaken, not stirred.
Okay. Oh, no.
And I just wonder what the reaction would be. And the guy...
And the joke, when did you tell the joke? When did the joke happen?
Well, my friend went, can I have half sweet, half salted popcorn, please? Yeah. And as he walked away, I went, hold on, I'd like it shaken, not stirred.
Yeah.
And then
when did the joke come in?
And then, well, that was a little gag right there. I thought that was a nice little moment.
Sorry, I was hanging you out to dry there.
Yeah, I knew what you were doing.
But what was the reaction of the gentleman who'd heard this?
Well, that was the funny bit of the whole thing. He didn't get it at all. And he's like, well, we've not really got the apparatus to shake. I mean, I've got to kind of put half in one side and half in the other. Will that be okay?
No.
And you know when someone doesn't get it, so my mate, it just went, yeah, that's fine.
It was a James Bond reference.
Yeah.
I once went into a, Burger King had once announced for an April Fool's joke that they were creating a left-handed Whopper. And I was filming something, so I went into a Burger King and I asked, hidden camera, for a left-handed Whopper. And the guys, it was in America, they were going, oh, we don't know what that is. And I was going, well, I think all the, it's just weighted more towards the left hand, if you could just make sure that the ingredients are more left-hand friendly, they're weighted that way. And they were having these big discussions behind the counter, going, how are we going to do this? And they came back and went, the problem is, most of the toppings are circular, so... turning them anti-clockwise wouldn't really affect the thing. I went, just please do it. So I got probably the only left-handed Whopper that they ever actually genuinely made.
What, did they put like a gherkin on the left-hand side? Or?
Yeah, they just rotated everything for me ever so slightly, which was pointless because I could have just done that with the hamburger itself.
We are XFM.
Some people. Hey, some people. Some people do some strange things for money. There was a story in the paper last week, wasn't there, about a lady whose job it is to slap a man. She's paid £5 an hour to just hit her boss every time he logs onto Facebook. It's not a bad job, is it? I'm not sure what the job title would be. You know, you are slapping. I'm not sure that would work on your CV very well. Mm. There's other strange jobs. Someone advertised for a tea maker. They can't make their own cups of tea. They're not good at tea, so they advertised for someone to just come around their house from 9 till 5 and make them a constant stream of tea throughout the day. And someone applied for it. They said, well, I'm fully qualified. I've worked at various coffee shops in different countries. The secret to a good tea is that it brew in the mug for a good 4 to 6 minutes, then add milk, and allow tea to reach 60 degrees for a perfect taste. They're really going for this job, aren't they?
Mm, yeah.
I guess it's a very easy cafe job. It's just one customer all day.
Yeah.
You already know the order. Yeah. Would you want a tip after every transaction?
If he did, you're going to make a killing, aren't you?
You're going to make a killing.
What experience Steve could have gone for this job? He's got a lot of experience.
You've got potential in this industry, Steve. Exactly. Someone else wants a mediator for their relationship. Him and his girlfriend have been together 18 months. They've started arguing. So they just want a random to come in, sit down on the sofa, observe, and then accept money for their advice. No, that's not bad, is it? You'd be good at that, actually, Matt.
Really?
Pretty, yeah. I've noticed Steve and Dave have been squabbling a lot lately.
Yeah.
Be pretty good at that.
I like to intervene, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a proper intervention. It's a Matt Dyson intervention. Sock sorter, that's another job. Shower singer. Someone put an advert in saying, I can't be the only one who loves to sing in the shower, right? And that's because the setting alone enhances the audio quality. It's an effect I think will be doubled by having a singing partner. And don't worry, I'm not asking you to join me in the shower or see me naked. We would be in separate showers. Singing communally. And someone else wrote back, well, a lovely advert. You're right, that will be awesome. I sing my heart every day. I get lost in the music, and I will sing in the shower for you so long as I don't have to get naked. And there's no funny business. People don't use that phrase enough, do they? Funny business.
Yeah, it's true.
When was the last time you used the phrase funny business, man?
Not since 1982.
Not since the 80s?
Yeah, when I was 5, bizarrely. I don't know why I said it then.
I don't know why you said that bit there, because I think it's very doubtful you would remember that specific phrase unless there's something a little bit wrong with you. When we had Ross Noble in recently, he was able to recall things we had talked about in 1996 in specific detail.
Yeah, that's strange.
Seems unlikely you wouldn't have raised this with him at the time.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm in trouble at home.
Oh, really?
I'm in trouble at home.
What you done this time?
Well, that's the thing, you know. We talk about this and we do this feature, what you done this time, and sometimes things just present themselves from my life. And I want to share it with people, but I want to hear why they're in trouble as well this morning. So I'm saying 83936 for what you done this time. And Matt, there's one thing I know about you. Oh, you're long-suffering, missus. Bet you're in the doghouse.
I pity her, I really do. Oh, yeah, well, you know me.
Yeah, what you done this time?
Well, after daring to complain about the high number of odd socks in my freshly washed laundry,
you.
I was put in my place by the other half's acid tongue last night. Old Muggins here is now icy laundry for the next week.
Oh!
I'll be up to my eyeballs in smalls and baby grows in that laundry room. I really must learn to hold back on the wisecracks.
Oh, you're a fool to yourself with the wisecracks. He's in the doghouse, isn't he? Dave, why are you in the doghouse?
Oh, you know me.
What you done this time?
I only went and machine washed the other half's silk blouse on a 60-degree heat the other day. It did not go down while steam was coming out of the little lady's ears.
I bet it was. I bet it was. Actually, you should steam clean those things. You know me.
What you done this time?
Well, I'm in trouble at home, as I mentioned, with the old ball and chain. Oh, what have I done this time? I said under my breath as she stomped up the stairs.
I want a word with you,
shrieked the battle axe.
Why is your son slurping the milk from the bowl?
I don't know, my sweet, my light of my life, I said. Maybe he saw it on EastEnders. Pray, tell why, you ask.
Because he said, I'm slurping my milk from the bowl just like my daddy does.
Caught red-handed. Dropped in it by my own flesh and blood.
Guilty as charged.
Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth, I'll tell you that much. You don't know what you're doing to me, son. I'm in the doghouse, aren't I? We are XFM. Text just arrived. It's a listener application. Hello, I would like to be a confirmed listener. My name is Mr. Keys. Well, welcome along, Mr. Keys. Yes, you're now a confirmed listener, Mr. Keys. Confirmed listener, Mr. Keys. That's quite nice, isn't it? Yes, and if you'd like to be a confirmed listener, don't forget you can apply as well. 83936. Matt Dyson. Mm. So we were on the telly, weren't we, on Friday night?
Yeah, I know.
Featuring in Darren Brown's Apocalypse. Brand new show. Fascinating. Big show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Big old show.
Huge project.
Spirit of Darren Brown writ large. If you didn't see it, he goes about attempting to convince a young man named Stephen.
A confirmed listener. Yes. Huh? No less.
Confirmed listener, Stephen, that the world is about to end. About to end. It's a big project. And Stephen, because he listens to this show, they studied his movements, didn't they?
Yeah.
And now we know what he does every day. He's sitting there right now, isn't he, at his breakfast table yeah. with his brother Barry sitting next to him, bleary-eyed.
Yeah.
And one of the concerning things about it was, you know, I imagine that people listen to our pronouncements just completely silent. But it turns out he's like chatting away
yeah.
while we're doing this. Working.
He didn't set a good example, did he?
Not set a good example. And it's a shame that other listeners now saw this behaviour of him not only talking, but contradicting me.
Oh,
can you imagine
the
that?
The nerve.
Someone contradicting me.
I know.
In his own home, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
This was, of course, the first time the XFM Breakfast Show was introduced.
To start
on the show.
With, I'm going to control what Stephen hears on the radio, and I've enlisted the help of his favourite XFM DJ Danny Wallace and newsman Matt Dyson. In this live broadcast, they're discussing end of world prophecies.
And then I saw a gentleman who wasn't as happy as me, and he had a sandwich board on.
Yeah.
The end of the world is nigh. Oh. Well, it's a bold move, isn't it, to have a sandwich board saying it? And you have all these people who say that 2012 is going to be the end of the... Who was it?
The Mayan prophecy, wasn't it?
I mean, they were always saying that 2012 would be the end of the world.
Don't think the end of the world can happen. No, because the Mayans didn't predict the end of the world. That's just when the calendar ends. What happens when their calendar ends? They start all over again.
Contradicting me.
You see, if you talk when Danny's talking, you may miss some other crucial information.
Yeah,
he may have a punchline coming. Yeah,
it's your own time. It's your own time you're wasting, isn't it? It's just disappointing to see.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't set a good example. This was a nice moment as well, where I believe I slightly mocked you on air, Matt.
Once again, XFM's Danny Wallace and Matt Dyson are on hand to lay the groundwork. Stephen's dad drops him off at a cafe where he can hear the fake broadcast.
We're talking about the meteor shower, of course.
And the effect it's having on magnetism and static. Thankfully for me, it's more your area than mine to bring the mood down.
What, the Civil Aviation Authority?
Yeah, we should probably
seriously know. Saying, right, they won't be able to communicate with planes if it carries on.
There's some disturbances and stuff with air traffic control.
So it's just the lighter side of the apocalypse is what we're reflecting there, Matt. That's all that's happened.
Even authentic sounding stumbling over words for me there.
to make it seem real. Exactly. In a moment or two, ladies and gents, you'll be free to talk again. A couple of confirmed listener applications. Rick is now a confirmed listener. And Jake in South East London. You've obviously been holding on to your conversation. Let's play some music and you're free to talk to your partners once again.
We are...
Is it getting colder or is it getting milder? It seems to be getting colder. I mean,
it's getting milder again today, apparently.
Why? What's going on?
I think it's cloud cover.
Do you think so?
Yes.
You know what that means.
It's very cold this morning, though, isn't it?
It's
going to get milder through the day.
This is the most confusing weather chat we've ever had.
It's cold now, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's cold now, sure. Mm. But it's going to change.
It gets warmer
as the day goes on.
That's what traditionally happens. If ever I criticise anything to do with your weather, you suddenly rock into professional weatherman mode. you cracked out the cloud cover already. That was good.
Yeah.
Myself and Dave were out a little bit late last night.
Doing a pub quiz.
Hosting a little pub quiz, yeah. I reminded you of that. It was only about 5 hours ago. It's like, we were. That'll be why I'm exhausted.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
It does seem like a lifetime ago. What do you say the best thing about Nottinghamshire is at the moment, Matt?
Oh, here we go. Why would you Why would you bring this up with Matt Dyson? Because this is the question he's always wanted to be asked.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm asking it.
We're going to be here for hours.
Yeah, well, what's going on right now?
Well, Jake Bugg is really flying the flag musically, as are those other guys from West Bridgeford. So, yeah, what are they called again?
Dog is Dead.
Dog is Dead.
Go back a couple hundred years, or a few hundred years, or, you know, quite a long time.
Oh, Robin Hood?
There you go. £30 million Robin Hood tourist attraction is planned for Nottinghamshire,
yes.
Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Just imagine it. I mean, you've grown up with this whole Robin Hood thing.
The myth, the legend. Yeah, well, they've got, like, Sherwood Forest is, like, an area where he used to hang out. And
you just said he was a myth.
The big tree.
You just said he was a myth.
Yeah, I know.
You just said he was a myth.
It's where someone...
And now you're taking the Nottinghamshire dollar, posing it as fact to the impressionable XFM listenership.
Have you ever seen the Major Oak?
The Major Oak.
Massive old tree that he used to hide out in.
He used to hide out in a big old tree.
Marion, yeah. And it's like, and they prop it up on sticks because it's so old, it should have fallen over and died years ago.
And did people know that he would just hang out in the Mighty Oak?
Well, no, they only found that afterwards because otherwise the sheriff's men would have found him.
How did they find out? And he left his wallet.
He must have carved his name.
He got his phone.
Robin Hood was here. Inside,
yeah. Left his tab open.
Yeah. I think probably myth is correct, because your portrayal of Robin Hood there was very much like a sort of a Beano style Robin Hood, of him just hanging out in a tree with Maid Marian and a bunch of men just hanging out in the forest in Nottinghamshire. Yeah. You do that, of course.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah,
I do that, of course.
Well, weekends,
just head back. Guys, we're heading down the forest. Do you hang out in the Mighty Oak, or do you leave the Mighty Oak?
I sometimes go near the Mighty Oak. A friend of mine, Simon, who plays the part of Guy of Gisborne, he has to come and try.
Whoa. Oh, I see. Okay, good. This is in your own little fantasy.
This is in my own little fantasy. I'm Big John.
You're Big John.
Yeah.
In Sherwood Forest, obviously, it's going to feature a medieval castle with dungeons, an open-air theatre.
Sorry, Little John.
And a tournament field for jousting, an archery contest.
It sounds brilliant. I'm fully behind it.
Good. It's been signed off by Nottinghamshire's number one son. We can all relax. Big John, everybody. This is the new feature. This is my opinion. This is my opinion. I've been looking at the various opinions that people send into newspapers. As the government is selling Admiralty Arch to the Spanish, should we now call it Armada House? What is this? North Korea? Special roads for the elite? The Rolls versus Proles plan would invite open public revolt. That's also from the Mail. Thank goodness there's some cold weather on the way. We'll all have to put extra clothes on, and I'll see less of those ugly tattoos. Oof. Finally, this one's from the Star. The mock-up of Victoria Beckham was great. She looked much better and sexier. Give me a bird with some meat on her any day. That's from the Daily Star. So now you know the opinions of your people around you.
Nice.
Probably won't do that again.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Let me show you my business. So, as usual, been through the papers. Found the big stories, but I made them a little smaller. By which I mean I'm just reflecting the facts, none of the fluff.
Okay.
So Jennifer Aniston put her arm around Salma Hayek at a glamorous party.
Sharp.
I won't. There's a picture of it in a lot of the papers.
No way.
Everyone using that picture, just putting her arm around Salma Hayek. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley thrilled fans at the same event by wearing a green dress. So everyone was thrilled.
Come off it.
Rihanna bought Adele's baby some comedy baby grows. One of them says, just done 9 months inside.
Oh,
encouraging criminality in the young is not a laughing matter, really. Absolutely sick. J-Lo went to Harrods last week. She was in London, wasn't she?
In London.
And she bought 10 boxes of Prince William and Kate Middleton biscuits.
Am I in a dream?
You're not. Apparently, she made a beeline for the biscuits, says a source, and spent ages poring over them. Sounds disgusting, though. Disgusting. At least she bought 10, but all the ones that remain, I don't know if they're going to put up a sign or something, just saying, you know, these have been poured over by J-Lo.
Yeah, I wonder if that increases the value of the biscuits, or...
It's a big no thanks from me. I'm fresh, I want poured over. Jamie Oliver's going to fight zombies for charity. Talisa has signed a deal to write her first novel. It's great news. Novels are
pinch
easy.
Me.
Novels are easy.
She's already done her life story, of course, hasn't she?
She has, yeah, hasn't she? Yes. Yeah. What was that called?
I really can't remember. Well,
yeah. I'm waiting for the film.
Yeah. But she's now doing a novel.
She's done the film, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a novel, yeah. And as you know, they're very easy. Probably the easiest way of writing.
Zoddle.
Yeah. Very
knock
easy.
In a few hours, I'd imagine.
Yeah. You can be fine.
Make up some stuff.
Stress about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's all it is.
That's what a novel is. Sid Owen's out of Strictly. He's out. He's out of Strictly.
Oh, no.
He's sad, Owen. That's the headline in the paper.
Really?
And finally, spotted Billy Murray from EastEnders outside a garage eating a Topic.
Yeah. That happened to a mate of mine.
I bet it did.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And although I say it's the XFM Breakfast Show, it's kind of the Channel 4 XFM Breakfast Show. If you happen to catch the brilliant show Apocalypse, Darren Brown Apocalypse, which was Friday night at 9, part 1 of 2. The next exciting installment happens this Friday. And you may have noticed that the XFM show features just a little bit on that programme. So I'm proud to welcome to the show not just Darren Brown, but the subject of Apocalypse, Steve Brosnan's here as well. How are you, boys?
I'm very well.
Good.
More importantly, how's Stephen?
Yeah.
I am doing fantastic. Thank you very much.
Good. I'm pleased. Darren, you can just sit this out. You're yesterday's man.
Yeah, I know.
As far as I'm concerned, the new household name has been born in the form of Steve Brosnan.
Oh, thank you.
God, talk me through it. Talk me through it. We should explain what happened. It's difficult to explain from your point of view because, as far as you knew, the world at some point recently was ending.
Yes, yeah, that's what that was put into my head.
Yes,
that's what actually happened.
By the wizard, Darren Brown.
The wizard, yeah, he started, yeah. It was an amazing experience, and when I woke up in that hospital, it was just one of those weird experiences, not knowing what was going on.
And Darren, you chose Steve for one of your new kind of, is it an experiment? What? How would you describe it? It's an event, is it?
I don't know. A kind of a self-aggrandizing exercise.
It's a thing. They are kind of experiments.
Everyone knows what a Darren Brown thing is.
It's
a Darren Brown thing. Yeah. And you chose Steve because Steve was lacking something in his life.
Well, yeah. So I put out a tweet and had thousands of people apply, and we were looking for, without giving away what we were looking for at the time, but we were looking for somebody who, it's slightly awkward to say, with Stephen sat right next to me, of course, but
yeah, go crazy.
Was taking his life for granted. The story was sort of, it's kind of Wizard of Oz, really. It's the kind of no place like home thing. So somebody who, it goes back to the Stoics, which we mentioned in the show, that the idea that in order to one of the ways of becoming happy is to learn to desire the things you've already got rather than hankering after things you don't.
Yeah.
So the idea was to take somebody who, to all intents and purposes, was taking his life for granted and bring him to the point that he would really sort of value by taking everything away.
Involving the end of the world, which is what you kind of put into his mind and created an extraordinary production, a huge production.
It was big, yeah.
Around Muggins there, around there. All this fuss for little Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, why didn't you appreciate what you had?
It was just my thought process, really. I thought I could...
You're just sitting there, your mum's bringing you fruit, surrounded by... In some rancid back bedroom with a leather headboard and beer cans everywhere.
It's pretty clean now. It's the cleanest room you could imagine. I'll send some photos in.
Is that right? And when you came in on the show, we kept it very quiet, but you came in and sat on the show one day, and I was kind of wondering how you would have felt straight afterwards, because the longer we were kind of, you know, very, you know, in a small way involved in your story, initially we felt a little bit guilty as well, but we have such faith and trust in Darren that we thought, it's going to be fine, it's going to work out, and Steve's going to be great, but we really felt for you, knowing what you were going to go
through.
You
every day, and I trusted you. No, but you did a great job. I remember when you heard that talk about the Mayans and the sandwich board.
Yeah, I noticed you contradicted me. I like to think of the listeners, Steve. You've really ruined it for me. Because I like to think of the listeners sitting in silence, listening. I very much want to keep them docile and compliant. But instead, you're there, you're going, oh, no, he's wrong about this and that.
Yawning as well in that sequence. I remember, yeah.
Clearly yawns.
Yeah.
You yawn, you absolute nit. Justify that.
I can't really.
Well, I will just say, if you're right to stick around for one more bit, that would be absolutely fantastic. I will just say that that watching it as well, as I did with the boys on Friday night, it became apparent as well that although my name is on the door here on the XFM Breakfast Show, it's very much about Matt Dyson, isn't it? Very much about Matt Dyson.
Yeah, he was the one who did that big news report I was listening to on the...
Screw you, Steve. And screw you, Darren Brown.
We are...
XFM. Well, there seems to be a disturbing trend with this feature today. It's pretty much just men. No women are in trouble. No women are in the doghouse. That's what's happening here. But the men are. Goodness me. What's happened? What's happened, guys? Come on. Matt, why are some of our listeners in the doghouse?
Well, you know Shadwell.
Oh, what's he done this time?
Well, you'll never guess.
That's why I asked.
I know. Well, he's only gone and given his better half a rotten cold, even though he didn't actually have a cold himself, but he sneezed once a year ago, so it must have been him. And blimey, she won't let him forget about it. It's all his fault, she says.
He must be walking on eggshells. Shadwell. John Bond says I'm in the doghouse for forgetting to tell the missus that my sister was pregnant. Instead, she had to find out through Facebook. Immediate sentence, 2 weeks in the doghouse. Why didn't you tell me? Said John Bond's missus. Oh, John Bond.
Oh, Gareth in Dunstable.
What's he done this time?
Well, you know him and his Pennywise ways.
I do, sir.
Well, she indoors always has the heating on too high. And she asks why the stack keeps turning down, to which I say, it must be broken. Mm. Cue a call to a plumber and an astronomical quote before I confess, it was me turning it down.
Oh, it was him all along with his penny-pinching ways.
The plumber laughed and left me there with a hopping mad lady.
I bet she was.
Hopping mad.
Hopping mad. He's always saying to me, Denny, you look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. Yeah. Oh, come on, live a little.
Skin flint.
Brad Acton from Thurrock, he says, you know me.
What's the other time?
Well, I've only gone and walked mud through the house. I was sure I bashed my work boots out before I got in last night, and I've just spent 10 minutes like a chuckle brother on his day off, picking mud up, turning round. Oh, more mud. Pick it up, turn around. Oh, look, more mud. So on for 10 minutes before I blamed it on the cat. She found out I'm in the doghouse. Oh. Hey, Dom in Watford, why are you in the doghouse?
You know me, yeah?
What you done this time?
After picking up the other half from the train station and discovering she was in one of the foulest moods I've ever experienced, I wrote the news to her that I'd already had my dinner. Old Muggins here had only forgot we were going out for dinner. Her acid tongue nigh on melted my face off.
Her acid tongue nigh on melted his face off, everybody. We
are XFM.
Arrived here at Leicester Square this morning. It's quite cold. Quite cold. And it's very busy. Morning in Leicester Square. There are about 30 Japanese tourists milling around quite early.
Oh.
And a whole bunch of teenage girls waiting for one of those bands.
Right, one of those teenage girls.
Did you?
Yeah, when I got in.
A whole bunch of them all around. They'd been there since 2 a.m.
Oof.
Yes. Milling about Leicester Square, hanging out for The Wanted.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, so we're going to put on a lot of records today so that we can go and hang out and... Try and kiss The Wanted. Should we do that?
Or maybe you should pretend to be in The Wanted and wait for them to leave the building and just join in and see if anyone...
Yeah, I could just walk behind them.
Actually asks you for the...
Hi, guys. I'm the 35-year-old one. usually don't make it onto the covers of the records. You remember you had a postman singing at you, Dave? You were walking around somewhere and a postman came in and sang at you. What a wonderful moment in your life.
It was a wonderful, wonderful day.
What did he do? He fixed you with a glare. That wasn't a glare, was it? It was the warmth.
I was in the post office.
Yeah.
And then he bowled in.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what song it was now, but he started singing.
Was it? These were a few of my favourite things.
Yes, good memory.
There you go.
And then it got to that part, and he looked at me, and then I felt inclined to finish off the song. So
social
I went,
pressure.
These are a few of our favourite things. I did try and get in contact with him again. But
Michael, the singing postman.
He's very shy. Yes,
yeah, Michael, someone else has witnessed that. What a wonderful thing to walk around and have a friendly sort of public servant engaging you with... with a song. What a wonderful,
really nice.
Great world you live in, Dave. Matt, you met a postman yesterday.
Yeah. Seems the postmen in West London aren't quite as friendly.
Yeah.
Myself and my missus heard the buzzer go, and she went down, and the postman just started effing and blinding.
For
no apparent reason, because he dropped his bag. And then Katie was going like, what's wrong? And then I went down, and he was like storming around going, oh, this job's hard enough. I don't need this. I don't like being treated like a slave. It's like, are you guys confused with someone else? Because I don't know what his problem is. We hadn't said anything to him.
You'd said literally
and
nothing.
And he just carried on swearing and throwing posts around.
Oh, no.
My
throwing
Lord.
Posts
You're
door.
Kidding me.
And we were going, what the hell's going on? We're going to have to make a complaint about this. And he's going, yeah, do it.
This job's hard enough. The angry postman of West London.
Yeah. And then he drove back about 10 minutes later in his van. We got the registration number. And he started running around, throwing posts around then as well. It's ridiculous.
Well, he's throwing posts around.
Throwing posts just
out of his bag, yeah. Flipping it out.
Throwing it at doors and then wandering off. And
throwing posts at doors?
He was like, he obviously had a bad day.
No way.
But I don't know why he was taking it out on us, because we hadn't done anything.
All you've done is open the door.
That is literally it, yeah.
And it was flip this. And for goodness sakes, that.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if we'd been an elderly a woman, you know, it'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
Imagine if we'd been an elderly woman. You're asking me to imagine you and your wife, or your fiancé, as an elderly woman.
Into one old woman.
One old woman.
We are XFM.
Our guests remain the marvellous Derren Brown and the equally marvellous Steve Brosnan, who you will know as the star of Derren Brown Apocalypse, which came out on Friday night. It's just one of those things. Everyone talks about water cooler television, don't they? That kind of thing. I wish we had more water coolers. I wish I had access to a water cooler. I would love to walk up to a water cooler and say, did you see Derren Brown Apocalypse on there on Friday night? You must strive to create that kind of stuff, or is it just stuff that fascinates you?
It is, yeah, completely. I think over the years I've sort of shifted from doing magic-y mind-reading tricks and sort of going, hey, look at me, aren't I clever, which is essentially what magic is. It's the quickest route to trying to impress people. Mm-hmm. So as I grew out of that, it became more of interest to me to facilitate things for other people. I think it's more interesting to watch somebody else go through something rather than just some smug posturing guy.
Sure.
And then it just becomes about what feels of interest to me at the time. Although admittedly, when we sort of came up with this idea, it did feel like, oh yeah, that's going to be a big idea.
Yeah.
No getting around.
And it is a big idea that is done in a very big way. You can see that from episode one alone. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. But you found something as well in common with Steve when you were, sounds a bit weird, hanging around in his room when he wasn't there.
Yeah.
He was lying on your bed.
I know.
Making himself all comfortable, getting into your mindset, and you found a book, didn't you?
Must be weird enough for Stephen sitting here listening to his favourite radio DJ telling him off having a messy bedroom.
Don't appreciate your mother. but Derren, you found a book called, I think it was Getting Into the Mind of
It
Magician
was The Magic of the Mind. Yeah, it is. There is a real, it was a very dusty book, so I got the impression Stephen hadn't read it for
a
very long
dusty
time.
Room.
yeah. But yeah, that was the first time I'd been in Stephen's house. I'd seen lots of footage of him picking his nose and watching television, shouting at his parents.
That was a weird moment.
Coming in, changing the channel.
I've got a 3-year-old, and he pretty much pulled off your move the other day, which is when your mum's talking and you just go.
I am the aspiration of every 3-year-old to pick their nose in television.
Yeah, but you found this in common, and you said that kind of what you were saying before, that to be a magician, you get into magic to impress people.
Because yeah, it is. It is the shortest, most fraudulent route to impressing people, and which is why a lot of magicians are odd, slightly odd characters, because they don't always. There's a lot of social skills you have to learn in life, but if you've got the shortcut at your fingertips, literally, and to start with, if you do tricks so that people look at the tricks and go, oh, you're amazing, but they're mistaking you for the thing you're showing them, then that's not always a recipe for actually learning how to have real social skills.
We are very proud indeed to play our part. It was very weird for us, though, because we had to talk about just odd things, and some that didn't make it into the show but made it into your life.
Yeah, definitely.
About YouTube videos we're making up, just about cats stick to cars, whatever it was. And there was this moment. Have you seen these guys?
Right.
There used to be loads of them around, not so many anymore.
Yeah.
The end of the world is nigh.
Oh.
Proper one of them.
Really? They're back.
They're back.
Oh.
They're back.
Oh.
I mean, have I missed something? I didn't see anything in the papers about this. This guy seems to think he's onto something. Mm-hmm. End of the world is nigh. He had this sort of long, lank hair.
Kind of a wild look about him.
How does he know these things?
How does he know? I mean, we've got access to all the news reports, the news feeds. I've seen nothing. Totally made up, Steve. Never saw a man. Got a call saying, can you say something about a man wearing a thing? Completely led me to abuse the trust that the XFM listeners have placed in me as a noted broadcaster.
Because that one went out to everybody, didn't it?
That went out to everyone.
That was a proper live thing, yes.
We were being told there were producers. Darren's producers were in the studio and they were going, right, now, he's listening now. And then we had to just start making some stuff up about a man.
Man in a sandwich board.
How bizarre.
Did you wonder, Steve, right, something I've thought as I've watched the show and never asked you this, did you wonder, as those announcements were sort of going out and the end of the world was approaching, that it was weirdly always XFM?
How dare you?
Well, no, I mean, there's no reason why you wouldn't be the first that the aliens would contact.
If I heard, I would ignore, would it be 5 Live, Radio 4? No way. Get me quality commercial broadcasting.
I wouldn't have anything else.
We are... I noticed yesterday Amy Childs from The Only Way Is Essex sent an unusual tweet out, which said, everyone follow my new Twitter account for all the new updates of my eyelashes. And she set up a new Twitter account.
Just for her eyelashes.
Pure eyelash news.
Brilliant.
If you want to know more about Amy Childs and her eyelashes, well, there's a Twitter account now that you can follow. Many people thought it was a spoof. It's not a spoof. If you look at it, it's just information about her eyelashes.
Right.
Which I think is a wonderful thing. And on that note, in Thailand, there's a new anti-aging beauty treatment in which therapists erase wrinkles from your face by just slapping you about a bit, hitting you constantly in the face. The traditional technique, it says, is said to erase wrinkles, shrink pores, and tighten the skin without surgery, instead using slapping. I thought there was more. No, that's it. Instead using slapping. So there's a lady who was trained in Thailand. She's the first face-slapping beauty therapist in the Western Hemisphere. Oh man, that's what a great, you know, she's got grandkids, you know, and they're going, what did you do in your life, Grandma? I was the first face-slapping beauty therapist in the Western Hemisphere. It's $350 for a 15-minute session. It's essentially sadomasochism as a beauty aid, I think.
Yeah.
Also popular in Thailand is bottom pinching and breast slapping. To enlarge the size of the chest. What wonderful things. That's what you should be following on Twitter, not eyelash news. It got me thinking, I mean, would you go along to a place and have your face slapped by a Thai lady? That sounds wrong. But is that, in terms of beauty therapy, is that something you would...
Don't need it, Nelly.
No, you're beautiful enough, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Matt. You don't need that. But my question to the ladies and gentlemen, and I think in particular the gentlemen this morning, is what do you do to stay so beautiful, okay? Met many of you. And you're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And there are men now in vans with sort of stale coffee and a copy of The Sun, and they're listening to this and they're going, yeah, I suppose I am beautiful. And it needs someone like me to break rank and just go, come on, you are, admit it. And how do you stay, what's your secret? How do you do it? What's your secret? How do you stay so beautiful? So, me, for example, I stay so beautiful, as I revealed yesterday, sometimes by ironing my shirt while I'm wearing it.
It's
one of my little tips. Also, I find that in the winter months, don't shell out for those expensive lotions and potions for your chapped lips. A little bit of Vaseline does the job, and it won't break the bank.
Oh, yes.
Matt, how do you stay so beautiful?
Good tip, Danny. With me, it's simple. Mm. I reject the rigorous, time-consuming beauty regimes and just have a simple wheatgrass shot once a day to maintain my healthy glow.
Oh, you do have a glow?
Yes, it is.
You light up a room.
Highly concentrated with vitamins, minerals, chlorophyll and enzymes, it is.
It's great to neck some chlorophyll. So that's how you stay beautiful. Steve, work experience Steve, how do you stay so very beautiful?
I think it's important to keep your mind beautiful.
Keep your internals beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
So anytime I swear, I'll just think of a little puppy.
Okay, that's nice. Well, we can't swear on the radio, so why don't you imagine a swear word and then imagine a puppy and tell me how you feel.
Okay. Oh, disappointed. Oh, happy again.
Look how beautiful he is!
XFM. We are XFM.
As you may know, if you listen to the important documentary that we put out a week or two ago, after all our rehearsals that we do for this morning's live broadcast, we get in about one. We do the dress run about three. We go through the script again. The dozen or so writers come in. We continue. We go into makeup, do the costumes. And then, you may not know this, but after every single link we do here on the XFM Breakfast Show, we immediately listen back to it with a team of experts that we get in. And we just go around the room criticizing it, nitpicking, and coming up with solutions, I suppose you could call them. And what happened was, this morning after our first link, I leant over to get some coffee and inadvertently faded up the Matt's internal monologue button. And I was like, oh, hang on, what's this? And Matt was like, oh, no, don't listen to my internal monologue. And I was going, well, no, let's see what you were thinking while that link was happening. And you were so embarrassed, weren't you?
Yeah.
So it's the 6:15 clip, Dave. You could bring that up.
That's the
and
one.
Bring up Matt Dyson's internal monologue fader. Morning, everybody. It is 6:08, and you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace.
Oh, great. Here he goes again. Danny Chatter Wallace.
I think his cloud cover.
Yeah, good one, man. Yeah, it's funny, that one. Very good. I never fail to impress myself with how much interest I can feign to his ramblings and how accurately I can respond on a daily basis without really paying much attention.
What do you say the best thing about Nottinghamshire is at the moment, Matt?
Oh, good. He's moved on to Nottinghamshire now. I can talk about this with my eyes closed. I bet Nick Grimshaw likes Nottinghamshire. I'd probably go for Danny's neck first. Arm to the throat, pin him down, and just pummel his cheeks. I wonder if an injured cheetah could beat a fully fit giraffe in a fight. I suppose it depends on the injury, really, and how conditioned to combat the giraffe is. If one of them had a gun, I suppose that would make it easier. I like to hoover, hoover. I like to hoover, hoover. What was he that for? Oh, I think Danny's finally coming to an end. I suppose better zone back in.
It sounds brilliant. I'm fully behind it.
Good. It's been signed off by Nottinghamshire's number one son. We can all relax. See, I call you Nottinghamshire's number one son, and you're there. You're thinking about pinning me down and pummeling me. What's going on there?
Don't get too bogged down in that. That's the first time that's ever happened. No one's ever heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen
it. It's quite embarrassing. I'm going to watch what I think about from
this. Please watch what you think about. We are delighted to welcome one of the UK's top comics, Matt Dyson. Will you please describe the man to your immediate left?
He is wearing a sweatband on his right wrist.
He is, yeah.
And a nice Czech shirt. It looks quite new.
Mm-hmm. No, the Czech shirt's much older.
Oh, right.
That's about a year, but it's. I tend to spend a lot of money on two shirts a year, okay. But then they last about 4 years.
I'll be honest, we've lost some of the impact of this
introduction. And I'm wearing a sweatband because my upper lip sweats now and again.
Oh,
which is kind of weird.
Strange.
Isn't it?
It's odd.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I had a mustache, that wouldn't happen.
No, it wouldn't.
But I can't have a mustache. I've tried.
Have you?
Yeah, it's weird.
Why did you try and why didn't it work?
Well, I tried it for that Movember thing.
Yes.
And then I had red hair, it started going red and grey and weird stuff. And then I looked like my dad's brother that nobody met.
Your dad's brother that nobody met.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the most obscure reference. Even in your own family, that's an obscure reference.
An Uncle Pete. even has a name. Nobody's met him. And now I think it's time that my family know about him.
Yeah, really?
That he is that guy that no one will be met.
Oh, Black sheep, Uncle Pete. Everyone's got an Uncle Pete. Jason, welcome along to the important broadcast. A lot going on with you at the moment.
Yeah. Colette Howlett. Sorry, just thought I'd say a weird name.
Yes.
That's a weird name.
Colette Howlett is a weird name.
Isn't that a weird name? I just said, because you were saying Uncle Pete, so I just said Colette Howlett. Colette Howlett is one of our neighbours, and that was... Oh, there's a guy in my class called Austin Curtains.
Austin Curtains.
Now, that's a massive, isn't it?
Austin Curtains is great.
Now, the DVD that you're about to say, it's not, none of that is on the DVD.
Vernon Bodfish, that's a strange name.
Vernon Bod... Did you know someone?
We looked him up, he lives in Swindon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
You have a digital versatile disc out, a DVD.
I do, yes. Which will fly out in the shops, and then people will swap it on the internet then. Which would be good fun.
Are you actively encouraging people to illegally download your work?
No, please don't.
No, don't.
Please Please pay at least a pound to your mate.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Or, you know, move money around, give it a charity at least.
Just
you know?
Something. Because you've got children, Jason.
I have got children. My children are starving. Well, they need new bikes. Well, they need new electric cars.
Yeah,
exactly. The little electric Mercs. They go to school in a little electric Merc.
You've got very pompous children, aren't you?
No, they're in my head.
Arrogant children.
Yeah, no, my kids are just normal.
What I would quite like, Jason, is because you're a man of such imagination, and every time, one of the joys of seeing you live is that you never know. You can never predict what's going to happen in the gig, obviously. You see a lot of comics, and then if they come on to, like, say, a 20-minute spot, you may have seen that 20-minute spot maybe a month or 2 months or 6 months earlier.
Or 10 years ago.
Or 10 years in some cases.
Don't say anything.
But, Jason, with you, literally every single night is completely different.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other night, I was in Cambridge, and I was trying to gauge the show, so I was wondering, because they were kind of posh and old, and young, there wasn't too many people to please. So I was wondering which way to go with stuff, you know, do they want a bit of blue stuff? Maybe not. Okay, ease off on that. So eventually, we had a raffle.
Yeah.
We that's what they wanted.
They actually wanted a raffle.
They wanted a raffle. One of the guys in the venue, one of the stewards, went off and got a raffle book.
Yeah.
And we gave out tickets. And people were taking tickets for a raffle that didn't exist.
But that's what I mean. Instant ideas all the time, which is why I'd quite like it if, as a father, you never employed any imagination whatsoever when engaging with your children.
That wouldn't be good. And it wouldn't sit well with the children, because obviously when I go home to my children, because I'm away so much, I'm not really their dad, I'm like their older brother. That's the kind of authority I have over them.
I can imagine. So, but when it comes to like recording a DVD, because all these magic moments occur in all your gigs, I mean, it must be slightly strange thinking, I'm going to record something tonight. Do I stick to what I know works, or do I go all out again?
Well, absolutely. I mean, what I'd love to do is, I mean, the ideal thing is to record all the gigs and then pick all the best moments out of them. But that financially is a nightmare.
Prohibitively expensive.
Yes.
FM. We're always inventing stuff. It's great. We're solving problems. It's the great thing about the human race. See a problem, identify it, solve it. And there's a new DVD out that allows single men to experience a wonderful dinner date without having to go through the rigmarole of convincing a woman to go out with them. I mean, that's the annoying bit, isn't it? It's like, you want to have a dinner date. I've got to convince a woman to have a dinner with me. And it's called Amateur Dinner Time, Let's Eat Together. And now, thanks to this series of DVDs released in Japan, you can wheel your telly to right opposite, you know, a little table in your house or flat. Press play, and an attractive lady pops up who's eating dinner. And I don't know if you have to plan your meals, if it's like, you know you're going to have spaghetti bolognese, so you've got to try and find a spaghetti bolognese eating DVD. Because it'd be weird, you know, otherwise. You want to sort of join in and... Well, mind you, in a restaurant you have different meals, don't you? So it's probably all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sit there staring at this, I suppose, this near-silent woman, who's probably just looking at you and nodding admiringly.
Right, going,
Probably. Well, that's the thing. What if they start laughing as you tell them some horrible tragedy that befell your family? You're sort of going... Oh, you know, and then my grandma, she passed away, and then she's just sitting there laughing at you. Put you off women forever, wouldn't it? These cold, heartless wretches eating dinner with. So, I mean, there's a number. In fact, I think each of the three DVDs features a number of attractive ladies as they sit across the table from the camera, enjoying their meal and engaging in small talk. So it's not even one, or maybe you can skip forward to the next date.
Right.
But then it's quite unsuccessful, isn't it? Because it's sort of like, what if you want to have a second date with one of these people? You're just going to repeat the first one. The relationship never moves on. It's quite depressing, bleak, isn't it? Or maybe it's just a whole bunch of women sitting opposite you, judging you like an X Factor judging panel. All just giggling at you and making you get paranoid, wouldn't you?
You feel worse about yourself.
They're all making fun of me. They're all talking. None of them responded to my questions.
You'd get better at it, though, because if you did use the same woman again, you'd know how to time your jokes and time your more serious anecdotes.
That's true.
And that, therefore, your confidence will grow because you feel you're getting better at the dates.
Yeah, what you'd need is a producer sitting next to you.
Yeah.
So kind of going, in about 10 seconds, she's going to laugh. Quickly, hit her with the joke. Hit her with the joke. I think this is great. I've talked myself into it. That's happening. Maybe we should do that for listeners with a Matt Dyson DVD. So you can sit and have breakfast with Matt Dyson while listening to the XFM Breakfast Show.
Yeah. Lovely.
He shovels capers into his mouth. XFM. I just noticed that by 8, I mean, we've got
We've actually got a slot free for a confirmed listener. We have got a place for a confirmed listener that we should give away before 8. And lots of applications came in this morning, didn't they, to the XFM Breakfast Show? Lots of people checking their listener pads and going, well, it's a Monday. It's the last Monday in October. And traditionally, of course, that is when we start to welcome in a new influx of confirmed listeners. So on the line, we've got Dom in Watford. Dom, are you there?
I am indeed, Danny. How are you?
How are you, Dom? Now, you've never applied for a confirmed listenership before. You have texted the show, of course. Why is today so different, Dom?
Well, I feel I deserve the recognition that I need, Danny. I mean, I've been read out a few times, and I've never been treated with confirmed listener Dom.
I see. And you mentioned in your text that you felt that Matt was such a convincing newsman on the Darren Brown show. That what happened to your girlfriend, Gemma?
Well, she was left shaken and disturbed, really, by... the accuracy of Matt's news broadcast, she actually looked out the window in fear.
Really? Wow. Excellent work, Matt. Yeah. So that's flattery towards Matt. That's good. That's already put you some way ahead. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Just relax. Just relax, Dom. Don't worry about it. Just relax. Let's make this tense, Dave. Dom, I'm going to ask you a few standard questions.
Right.
Don't worry. You're not being judged, although you will be judged on your answers.
The tension bed isn't helping, Dave.
Thank you. And good use of radio terminology. Dom, your first memory, what's your first memory?
Oh, from life or the XFM Breakfast Show, Danny?
You tell me, Dom.
My first memory from life would be getting pushed off my tricycle and cracking my head open on a curb.
Okay, so psychologically disturbed. Yep. And how about your first memory from the XFM Breakfast Show?
It would have to be, the first memorable one would be about the capers.
Capers. Now, when you say the first memorable one, what do you mean by that? Are you saying that the previous 8 or 9 months before the caper incident that was not memorable? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it certainly was, yes, but I came in quite late. I was at a previous radio station that I dare not mention.
Well done, well done. It was probably Absolute. Dom, your usual internet password, please.
That would have to be 4 zeros.
4 zeros. Who do you like best, me or Matt?
I'm going to have to... I've flattered Matt already, Danny, so I'm going to have to go with yourself.
Good. Dom, the year of Mozart's birth.
Can I go 1612?
You can, but you'd be about 100 years out. It was 1719 in Vienna, but I admire your pluck. And finally, Dom, football teams play in what two colours?
I'm going to go with aubergine and pink.
It was red and blue, but I'll accept it. It's close enough. You're in!
Yes!
Yes.
Dom, you're now confirmed listener Dom in Watford.
That's the best news I've ever had.
We are
XFM.
We are proud to bring you Jason Byrne this morning. He's still here, everybody. Jason, you're still here.
Yeah, is that a thing with your guests?
It's just sad.
He's surprised that they're still there.
Still here, everyone. Still kicking him out. Can't get rid of him. Jason, exciting times. You've got a sitcom pilot coming up as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you did a Radio 2 sitcom, didn't you?
And yeah, we did a Jason Byrne Show, yes, Radio 2 thinger. Right. Which was sketches and stand-up.
Sorry, yeah.
And then that won a Sony Gold.
I know!
Which was really weird because I was in Australia and I was rang to say, could I come home a little bit earlier? Mm. And I was going, oh, but I'm on Bondi Beach. Where do I have to come home? And for the Sony Awards, I went, oh, okay. And I wasn't too sure what the Sony Awards were, as in like the size of them. Yeah. I thought that the awards were going to be in BBC theatre, you know, right. the theatre is.
Yeah.
And that they were just giving prizes out to BBC shows.
An internal
yes,
award system.
I thought it was. I just thought it was just a nice pat in the back thing.
Yeah, nice.
Then I rocked in jet lagged into the Sony Awards and like, you know, Ronnie Woods and there's Skinner and Chris Evans. I'm going, whoa, this
the
is bigger.
Breakfast Show team,
and,
yes.
And the XFM Breakfast team, yeah. Who are all over the other side with a huge table of awards.
Yes, we did, yes.
Yeah. And anyway, yes. And then the BBC said, do you want to, would you like to do a sitcom? I said, okay. So I wrote like four episodes of a family sitcom called Father Figure, which broadcast at 10:30 at night somewhere. Right. And that went out really well. Yeah, it was clear.
The response was terrible, but the broadcast was crystal clear.
Absolutely crystal clear, I heard. And it should keep going.
Good. Yes. I hope we'll good luck with it. Father Figure, we'll keep our eyes for it.
Yeah.
We'll keep our eyes for it.
Keep your eyes for
it. Don't get rid of him.
I was going to get rid of my eyes for a little while in January, February, just to relax a little. Just helps me sleep the dark. But I'll keep my eyes for this sitcom.
You know that's going to happen in the future, though, Pete. There will be eye clinics where you can pop out your eyes and have the massage slow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can leave your eyes out.
Just pop them in a power socket to recharge.
Oh,
be great.
Eyes.
But in the meantime, you're kind of finishing off your tour as well. You're at Hammersmith Apollo very shortly, very soon. That's a big venue.
Nobody's ever sure how many seats there is in that. The theory is a 3,500 seats, but if you're on stage, the top section disappears into infinity.
Right.
So I think there's a million seats. I think it goes on all the way to any type of godly area.
It does touch the godly area.
Yeah.
It turns wrong.
You're coming up with a lot of t-shirts. The godly area and rest your eyes.
When is the actual date in London? It is
26th?
Friday the 23rd of November.
Oh, I so lost that. Nice.
Well, actually, it's the last date. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's the last date.
Yeah, it's the last date. So it's the 23rd. So you've just won 3 days.
Yeah.
If there was some kind of hub for all Jason Byrne information, what would that be called?
I'd probably, if I had a wish list, I'd probably call it jasonbyrne.ie.
That's the place to go for all your Jason Byrne needs.
XFM. We are XFM.
Let's get the good news from the XFM Breakfast Show listener demographic. Start with the ABC ones, 18 to 34. So Matt Dyson, what's the good news where the people are?
That's a nice little bit of good news coming through.
Great good news.
Including one that just says, "Hey up guys, I've just bought a whippet."
It's simple, it appeals to Dave's northern roots. It's good news, it's whippet based.
Jack in Barking.
Well
that
done,
is great
Jack.
News, isn't
well
it?
Done, Jack. What else, Matt?
Also, Mark says, good news, guys. I'm enjoying tea from my Confirm listener mug, and my phone is protected by an XFM sock.
I see.
Thanks for bringing us the important broadcast.
No worries. Jen is getting married on Saturday. That's good news. Good news, guys, says Anonymous. I have tomorrow and Friday off. No, I'm not on holiday. I'm actually unemployed. Time to let the wife bear the not inconsiderable strain of paying our mortgage. That's good news. That's good news.
Good news, guys. I woke up in a foul mood yesterday.
Oh, no.
Therefore, any mood I wake up in today was always going to be an improvement. Although my jovial mood was slightly marred by my dream last night where I persisted on attacking civilians with weapons.
That's from George. What?
Is that good news?
I must admit, I hadn't read that through.
It's stretching the definition of good news somewhat. But well done on not actually having done that. Al the cabbie says, good news, guys. I heated a pizza in the oven, but I inadvertently left a little foamy circle on the bottom. Oh. I still ate the pizza, though. It's good news I didn't pass away in the night. Excellent.
That bass must have been horrible. Good news, guys. After an undeserved merit in my employment law assignment, I am now part CIP. PD qualified.
Oh, at last.
Four modules down, four to go, then goodbye books, hello letters after my name, and hello a pay rise.
Great. They said the first four modules of that course are the hardest.
Yeah,
it's all it's easy from
here.
You've
done the hard bit.
Good news, guys. It wasn't a vampire monkey chewing on my arm when I woke up this morning. I'd just been pinching my arm in my sleep, says Ollie in Shepherd's Bush. Excellent work. And my favourite good news of today. Strap yourselves in for this. It's from Chris in Watford, who I believe is Chris Ambrose, he's entered competitions in the past, he's written books. He says, good news, guys, but first, it's sad news. My severely underpowered gold hatchback that's been at the root of so many of my good news stories over the past year is now surplus to requirements thanks to my new job that is near, but not even remotely connected to the Slovenian embassy. And this, of course, means I must bid farewell to its irregular indicator tick and its semi-plush blue upholstery. But the good news, guys, and potentially girls, is that it's for sale. preset with XFM prominently on the stereo. Yes. In tribute to all the adventures it's been on with XFM as the soundtrack, I wrote a little song and made a little video about my little car. Perhaps you could help it on its way, as it never got to host a confirmed listener mug in one of the many cup holders it does not have. That's from Chris in Watford, and he's made the video. We watched the video. The video is brilliant. The song is excellent. If you're in the market for a sort of yellowish Renault Clio style looking car, maybe this will convince you to purchase. It's got a full length bounce in the middle seat. It's got a color scheme that's pretty much hard to beat, even if it never really ever got the girls. It wouldn't work as a getaway car. It's not a quick, so you wouldn't get that far. But at least you got plenty of space in the boot. So he's selling his car. We are putting that on the Facebook page, facebook.com/XFM Breakfast Show. Work Experience Steve is working on it now. And I can sum up all that good news by simply saying we have the cleverest, funniest listeners in all of Radio Land. Yes. And that's not good news. That's great news. XFM. So yesterday, after the important broadcast, Matt was all like, I'm off to Central London. I'm off to interview Mo Farah. Mo Farah. He was off to interview Mo Farah. That's great. And this was because you could get a free watch, yeah?
No, it was for the launch of that new Nike Plus game for the Xbox Kinect.
I see. Shameless.
So Mo Farah was there. It's like, oh, great, to meet an Olympic legend.
Yeah.
That will be nice. And you gave me a little something to try and get Mo to say.
Let's talk about your watch. You've got a new watch on. Where'd you get that?
It's not like a watch. It's like a training band thing.
And you went to...
Which tells you how many calories you burn throughout a day.
Yeah,
quite nice.
It's nice that. I mean, I'd have gone just for the news element, just to go and interview Mo
Farah.
Yeah,
this was an added bonus. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you went to meet Mo Farah, and I said, oh, "Isn't it a pity? So many these days, so many people these days have visual catchphrases. You know, and I suppose it's necessary for sportsmen in some sense because they don't always have microphones on the pitch or anywhere on the running track or wherever, so they have to develop a visual catchphrase. But it does limit their catchphrase opportunities, especially when it comes to the medium of radio.
Yeah, we're losing out, aren't we?
We lose out. It's like it just could be anyone talking. You know, it could be any old fella. We can't see the visual catchphrase. So I said, if you meet Mo Farah, what did I ask you to do?
You got me to say a specific thing so we could play it out on the show.
Yeah, so I said, it'd be great to have Mo Farah just talk on the show.
Yeah.
But because we can't see the catchphrase, it'd be great if he could just describe the catchphrase so that we're like, oh, it's Mo Farah.
Yeah.
Mo Farah,
so it's quite an embarrassing thing. He had to say, hi, I'm Mo Farah. I'm making an M with my arms. And you're listening to XFM.
And I haven't heard the resultant audio as yet. Do we hear you having to explain that to him?
I think we do, because I'm there, like, surrounded by PR people and lots of other people milling around.
Sorry,
I've got a very short time. Very short
time. Hey, Matt,
time
do you want
space.
This? Thanks for turning up. Here's another watch. Here's a bag for your football boots.
All stuff like that, isn't it?
So, yeah, it was sort of running out of time, though. It told me to wind up, and I had to just get this in at the end.
All right, okay, I haven't heard this. Here we go.
Can I just do one more thing? Are you okay? Is that okay? Just one more thing, because we're big fans of you on the XFM Breakfast Show as well. We wondered, because we were following you during the Olympics, we wondered if you could do a little sort of drop for the show where you just say, hi, I'm Mo Farah, you're listening to XFM sort of thing. Would that be possible?
Could you just say, hi, I'm Mo Farah, I'm making an M with my hands, and you're listening to XFM.
Hi, I'm Mo Farah, I'm making an M with my hands.
And you're listening to
XFM.
Because it's just like you doing the move.
Yeah.
Let's explain it afterwards. Oh, Mo's face.
Mo Farah making an M with my hands.
Mo's face. He looked confused, but what a lovely man. He went along with it anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What a lovely man. We are... Ladies and gentlemen, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Well done, you've chosen wisely. And right now you're in the I Don't Know Biz. Let me reverse that and pop you in the No Biz. Yeah, I never sing along, but it's a sing along a day, isn't it? So I've been through the papers, condensed the important stories therein. So here we go. Multimillionaire Justin Bieber has been accused of stealing an 18-year-old's credit card so that he could pay for an operation.
You are sh**ing me.
To hone
his gentleman's agreements.
Megalos.
The same person who's accused him of this madness is also claiming that he is Selena Gomez's father, even though she is 2 years older than he is. Start so young, don't they, over there? Hey, look, a reality show waiting to happen. That'd be a brilliant reality show. The Biebers. Just with a dad that's 2 years younger than you. Yeah, accuses you of nicking his credit card.
It's not going to happen on any other shows, is it?
It's not, is it?
No.
Dynamo, the magician. It's very sad that his family don't ask him to do magic tricks over Christmas dinner.
Sharp.
They must be like, just give us one day off, Dynamo. That's probably quite resentful to his mum as well. Why would you call a kid Dynamo? I mean, furious. Ollie Murs does not let anyone in his X Factor dressing room unless they take their shoes off first.
Come off it.
And I've seen his dressing room. It's actually because it's a bouncy castle. They ran out of space. Yeah. It's in the parking lot. It's in the parking garage. Costs him £1.20 to get into his... Alan Titchmarsh nearly had his studio stormed while doing his chat show.
Poor Alan. What's Titchmarsh the world coming to?
By animal rights activists. After he had a man called the Dog Whisperer on.
Oh.
They were like, oh, you can't do that. Stop whispering at dogs. I'm actually a Dog the Bounty Hunter Whisperer. Only I can truly control Dog the Bounty Hunter. Wow. Just help him sleep, stuff like that. Neil Sean's showbiz update just says, Mariah Carey says it's tough being a judge on American Idol. The quote is, you're playing with someone's life, and that has to be a worry. Sounds just like her, that quote, isn't it? Oh, that has to be a worry. Ooh. Oh, that has to be a worry. Mariah doesn't speak like
she
that.
She doesn't, no.
Doesn't speak like a grandma from the north.
Are you suggesting he's made up another quote?
Hey, that's your suggestion. It's your suggestion. You also accused Justin Bieber of nicking your credit card, I know. Liz Hurley likes thin cut, unsmoked, streaky bacon, and the rinds must be crispy. And she also suggests that ketchup is a perfect accompaniment. Ketchup on bacon, eh?
This is unbelievable.
No wonder she's always in the papers. Controversial. They should give her a column. Judi Dench had 007 stuck on the back of her neck in diamonds.
Pinch me.
That was for the premiere of Skyfall. She's not gone mad. Rylan from X Factor has been accused by The Mirror of having worked for an organisation that fed kids dreams, took advantage of them and then let them down. Thank God he's out of that and onto X Factor, eh? Thank God. And finally, 67-year-old Rod Stewart plays with a train set every day, which annoys his wife.
People will talk of this for years.
Now you're in the nobies, everybody.
We are XFM.
Danny Analytics. So, Matt Dyson, you're a man of many talents. You're like a sponge, soaking up experiences as well. If I were to wring you dry right now, what would pop out?
Here are two things I'll take from this morning. First, Danny is in a new video game, Assassin's Creed 3. Yes. It's out now with Sean Hastings, the bespectacled analyst, back in action. Mm-hmm. It will no doubt add to the strange collection of homoerotic pornographic fan fiction online around the world in his honour. Yeah. Also, the multi...
I just get off with Leonardo da Vinci. I do. I just walk into rooms and get off with figures from history in these sick Italians' minds.
Google it, everyone. Google it.
Yeah.
Also, multi-talented confirmed listener Chris in Watford revealed earlier that he's written and recorded a song and made a video for it on YouTube all about selling his car. Mm. It's amazing. It really takes Alexi Sayle's classic Hello John Got a New Motor to the next level. There's a link to it on the Breakfast Show Facebook page.
Yes, facebook.com/XFM Breakfast Show. And on this morning's important broadcast, well, Matt rose to the occasion and undertook a mission I set him to get Mo Farah to record an ident for the show while doing his trademark Mobot. But as the Mobot is ostensibly a visual thing, it was important to me that you, the listener, did not miss out on this little treat. So I asked Matt to ask Mo to describe it as he did it.
Hi, I'm Mo Farah, making an M with my hands, and you're listening to XFM.
We are XFM.
That was Podcast 67. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more from me, I'm currently doing a one-man show around small venues in the Essex area. I'll be coming to the Billericay Church Hall on the 17th of this month, so do book early to avoid disappointment. Podcast 68 next week. Yes, we are excellent.
Benny Wallace.